How are you today?
Hi.
It's good to see you. Glad to be here. Beautiful weather. It's a great fall in Savannah. My favorite time of year in Savannah, GA is the fall. Low humidity. It's great. It's wonderful. Close to being in heaven. We had someone here from San Diego last week, and they said, yeah, it's like this year round in San Diego. People over there complain if it goes up or down 2 degrees. Glad you're here. If you're our guest today, we welcome you. Get your prayer request. Dane said that about putting your prayer request on the cards. If you'd like to receive our email devotional, put that on there. We'd be glad to send that to you. Hope you've been keeping up with everything that's going on in the news and that you're praying through that. A lot of things happening in our world today, and they've got to be handled with prayer every day. God will speak to us. He will He'll show us what kind of people we're supposed to be in the day that we're living. Because it's for sure... we can't get our cues altogether from the past. Because like I heard one commentator say this past week, he said, man, we'd never seen anything like this before. And we're living new days today. It's a new day in the world. I don't know if you realize it's just been 10 months since the beginning of Arab Spring. And, you know, Gaddafi falls. And I wonder if President Reagan was, found out about that in heaven, about Gaddafi finally meeting his end. And we also need to pray about all that. There's been a lot of change in our world in the last 10 months. Today, I hope you'll listen closely. It'll be tempting for some of you to mail it in today. I say that because sometimes we see a direction, a pastor may be going with a message and we say, oh, I know all that. Well, I don't think you do. So we need to listen closely what God has to say to us today. A few questions we'll begin with today. Does anybody here have any problems? Okay, all right. How are things with your family right now? Both your immediate family and your extended family. How about your job? Who's still looking for a job right now? Put your hands up. Okay. All right. We're going to pray for you before the day's over. About your business, those of you that are self-employed. How's business these days? What about money? You say, well, what about it? you got plenty of it? Could you use some more? Do you need some direction in how to better use what you already have? Have you been worried about anything this week? Anything just on your heart that's of a concern? Maybe you don't want to use the word worry, then use the word concern. Anything on your mind? My last question before we read the scripture is, does Jesus have anything to do with any of these questions that I've asked you today? Do you need Jesus? Really? Why? Go answer that question today. Why do we need Jesus? One verse I want to read to you today from Acts chapter 4. Peter and John have been arrested. Caiaphas and all the boys, Annas, the high priest, they've got them questioning them, and at the end of it, here's what Peter says, verse 12, chapter 4. There's salvation in no one else. She's talking about Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given men by which we must be saved. Let's pray right now. Lord, some of us came in today full of joy. And some of us came in burdened with the struggles of this past week and the things that are going on. Asking you, Lord, I just don't see how it's going to work out. God, you've got a message for all of us today. Start with me. And we're all ears today. We want to hear what you have to say. I ask you to speak to us. Lord, we do believe there is salvation in no other name. That there is no other name under heaven whereby men and women and boys and girls can be saved. Speak to our hearts today. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, the Son of God, we pray. Amen. So, why do we need Jesus? First reason. We can't save ourselves. Can we? Can you extend your life one breath? You know what's going to happen tomorrow. Shoot, we don't even know what happened yesterday. And we think we know what's happening now, but maybe we just haven't seen all the facts yet. My pastor, when I was growing up, Corn Arms, was pastor church here in town for many years. My pastor was a teenager. He went on to be with the Lord this week. He died yesterday. And his son Gary Arms is here just about every Sunday. He sits up there with the Bears in the phone booth, in the sound booth. I don't think we get them in a phone booth. Feel the love. Now, for those of you our guests, I mean, these guys pick on me all the time. I mean, they really do. They give it to me, and you just feel the love. It's love taps. But serve the Lord all, you know, from what became Christian as a young fella. And as I was praying with him the other day, my dad and I went out to see him and pray with him. And I was just trying to say all the things to him that I needed to say. And of course, we've been visiting with him and all. And feeling him grip my hand. He couldn't speak. But just feeling him grip my hand as I was thanking him for faithfully preaching the gospel. You know, forming my theology about, you know, my understanding of the Word. How much of it came from him, his sermon. I got a little file box, a little 4x6 file box that I've kept for years and years. I told him the other day, I said, I still got 100 of your sermons in there that I have notes on that I took when I was a teenager. One thing that he said all the time, we can't save ourselves. You can't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And you surely can't do that. All we know about what's on the other side is what Jesus has told us. What did He do in our behalf? He stepped down out of heaven, the Son of God, because and he came to a fallen world, that had it all right. I mean, we had everything. But Adam and Eve, they fell. They sinned. Sin entered the world and therefore became our major problem because it stands in between us and heaven. There's going to be no sin in heaven. Therefore, something miraculous has got to take place in our lives before we can get to heaven. Enter Jesus into the problem. The one who solves the problem, who made a minus into a plus with this great example as he hung there suspended between heaven and earth on a cross in our behalf, shed his blood, died, was buried, was risen, raised again on the third day, ascended to the right hand of the Father, there receiving all who come to him faith and trust. You've heard me say that so many times. That is the gospel. And it's given to us, his Holy Spirit who is here right now and who is interpreting what I say to you right now and is bringing it to your ear, to your spiritual ears. We can't save ourselves. You can't do that for yourself. Secondly, we can't forgive ourselves. Now please, hang in here with me. I know we say all the time, well, you need to forgive yourself. But forgiveness has to have a basis. Has to have a basis in reality. Has to have a basis of power. Where does the forgiveness come from? Where does it come? It comes from the heart of God, who saw us in our sin, who saw us in our predicament. Scripture says in Romans, he says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in that state, he came to us. He didn't say, you climb the ladder up to me and then I'll pull you the rest of the way. He came all the way to us. He didn't come part the way. All the way to us. How many people, how many of you here today have received Jesus? And you know, I'm not talking, have you had a religious experience? I'm not talking about, have you just had the flutters at some time when you're in a church service and you signed a card or you raised your hand or something? I'm not talking about that. Though all those things can be meaningful. The bottom line is, do you have Jesus? Has His cleansing power come to you? That forgiveness that comes. And the only way that forgiveness can come is from Him. And through Him and through His power. For Him actually to look at your past and say, canceled. Debt paid. Don't you like to get those things when you finally get something paid for? And you see they use that stamp on and it says canceled, debt paid. That's what Jesus has done with our sin debt. He paid it. He paid it all. And it doesn't need to continue to be a noose around our neck, a cement suit that we wear through life. And by the way, that's something that some of us, we need to let our salvation outwork in us. You know, you know, Scripture says, work out your own salvation. Actually, what that literally says, it's let your salvation be outworking. And it uses a double out in there just to make sure you didn't miss it. In the Greek, you see that it's a double out. It's so that what God has done in you is going to come out. And it comes out in forgiveness. Because the only way we can forgive somebody else is if we've been forgiven. We have the power to do that. You can't forgive your own sin. Jesus did that for you. He canceled your debt. Three. Why do we need Jesus? We can't create a new life for ourselves. All the New Year's resolutions, all the stuff that, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. And what we're actually trying to do is dress up a pig in new clothes. And you can't do it. You got to change the person so that then what comes out is going to be new. Brand new. Where the power of God comes to a person's life. I remember this kid that I had shared Christ with many times. And he was rowdy. He was a rambler. He'd done all sorts of things. He had just barely kept himself out of prison. Eventually, he went to prison. And over and over and over again. But I remember when Jesus got a hold of him. And his life changed. He was brand new. The old had passed away. Have you received Jesus? If you've received Jesus, then He cancels your past and you have a brand new life. And we need to embrace that new life instead of listening to what the devil says. And the devil's going to tell you, what is he going to tell you? Oh, no, you can't change. You're still going to be. He's going to damn you by the past. And when the devil comes to you reminding you of your past, you need to remind him of his future. Of what's going to happen as he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. We have power and we're living in that today. We see Jesus working in our lives. He changes lives. Number four, why do we need Jesus? We can't give ourselves even one day of eternal life. Think of the wealthy people in the world right now that are going around getting, there are some that are buying organs, human organs, on the black market as they get older and need transplants. Those who are spending all their money. I read one secular commentator, and he was commenting on Steve Jobs, you know, Apple. You've seen him, been, you know, all over the news. He died several weeks ago. And this secular commentator made the statement. He's no Christian. He's no preacher somewhere smarting off. You know, here's what he said. He said, the death of Steve Jobs proves one thing. That $8.3 billion can't buy you one extra day. Can it? And for sure, not one day of eternal life. Because you see, Jesus has already, what did he say in John? I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again for you and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Cohen Arms, my pastor when I was growing up, Jesus came for him yesterday and took him to where he is, absent from the body, present with the Lord, like that. And he's coming for all of us real soon. Number five, why do we need Jesus? We can't have a full, rich, meaningful life without him. Look around the earth today. Do your own research. Find the happiest, most joyful people that are well-adjusted, in many instances, living in a hellhole, but not letting that control their lives. And you know what you're going to find most of the time? You're talking to someone who has Jesus in his life. Where's the hope in any other religious system? Is it there? Is it in Buddha? Is it in Islam? Is it in any of the Eastern religions? I see the interview. I was over at one of the local bookstores one night and killing some time. It was in Barnes & Noble. I loved going to that place and just read and see everything and just watch the people. And they were having a little, there was a Jewish rabbi and there was an imam that was there. Islamic imam that was there. And they were doing this little community awareness thing. And they were talking about Judaism. And they were talking about Islam. And I listened to the rabbi, and he had some good things to say. And then the imam started talking. And I started listening. And it was divisive. And it was void of love. You see, all the world religions can't understand this one thing about Christianity. They can't understand love. They don't understand forgiveness. There's no concept of it. Because there's got to be power for that to happen, because that's not how man is wired naturally, because we're fallen. We're away from Him. And when you catch hold of that truth, that Jesus, you mean Jesus loves me even though He knows everything I did, and He still loves me? That He's still after me? He's still chasing me down with His love? That's right. That's right. Greatest power on the earth is the love of God. Number six, why do we need Jesus? We can't fill the hole that is in us without Him. Now think about this today. What are people in our society and in our world trying to fill that hole that is within them with? Money? Power? Education, houses, land, stuff. How many pairs of shoes did Imelda Marcos have? I've gone back in history for some of you. That just buzzed and parted the hair of about most of this group right over here. Lady had a shoe fest. She had something like 20,000 pairs of shoes. Imagine that. Imagine that closet, guys. Imagine that. But what are people trying to fill the hole? I listen to these interviews with people as they're grappling with the issues of life. And what they're really grappling with is this hole that is in me. How can I fill it? And see, the truth from eternity past is the only way it's going to be filled is if the one who made us comes and fills that hole Himself. Because it is like Blaise Pascal said, it is a God-shaped vacuum and nothing short of God is going to fill it. Only He can come in His power and fill that hole and give you fulfillment and joy. In life. Number seven, why do we need Jesus? Because we can't have meaning in life without Him. Look at all the poetry, all the books that have been written about the meaning of life. I've read those philosophers and continue to read the armchair philosophers on the internet. Just Google some of that, and you'll see these guys, you know, and here they are. I imagine them late at night. They're by themselves. They're out on some blog, and they're just typing away, and after a while, they don't realize that they've quit really thinking about it, and what they're writing is coming right out of their soul out onto the internet. And you're hearing the aches and the pains that are there, and sometimes it just makes me cry. as I'm reading these blogs of these guys, and they're looking for something, and they're out here, and they've got these presupposes. They say, oh no, there's no God, there's nothing there. But everywhere they turn, what's the evidence? God. God over here, like that guy, you know, the atheist and God were having the showdown. You know, I can create things. And God says, well, show me. He picks up some dirt and he said, see from this dirt? He said, uh-uh, you get your own dirt. Who creates? Who brings it into existence? Who makes something new that's never been that before? Who changes life? That's why I'm a pastor today. I mean, God's called me. But man, it is a buzz to me to see lives changed. And I've watched that all my life. I watched it in my own home. I saw God come into our home and change my daddy that I worshiped the ground he walked on. Watched him put his shoes on every morning. I've told you this story so many times. I stuffed things in the end of his boots so when he got up, you know. I was playing practical jokes in it. He's half asleep and he's getting, how can I get the boot on? And there's stuff in there. And looking at him and then seeing Jesus come into his life and change him as a 10-year-old boy, that is a powerful message. Powerful message. Why do we need Jesus? We can't have a real hope that life will be different without him. We need hope. You been listening to the Wall Street folks up there that are out? You just listen to any of those interviews? And maybe some of the ones from around the world. There's an incoherency that is as I link them together and I run the cord through what the commonality of all of the stories is. There is a hopelessness that pervades their soul. Now, granted, there are probably a few people that really have the hope of Jesus that are there. I'm talking about most of the ones that I've heard, have listened to. There's no hope. I want you to know, Jesus is the blessed hope. The hope of His coming. And when the New Testament uses the word hope, it's not a think so, it's not a maybe so, it is a know so. He says, I'm coming. Name me one thing in this book that He hasn't done exactly what He said He was going to do. People don't want to hear it, but here you have hundreds and hundreds of years before and several thousand, in fact, that Israel was going to come back and possess the land. And what happened in 1948? They did it. They did it. Hope. Do you have real hope today? The hope? You know, my hope isn't in our political system. I love this country. This country is the best country that has ever been on the planet. Oh yeah, it's had its problems. Here's a little experiment. You don't like this one? Why don't you do a little travel? I challenge you. Do a little travel. Go a few places. And then come back and tell me how bad this country is. You say, oh, Western Europe. You know, one bathroom on the whole floor of the hotel and lights that go on and off in downtown London is not my idea of convenience. Hope. But my hope isn't in this country, isn't in our political system. My hope is in the only one who is worthy of all praise, who has given us the hope, Jesus. Jesus. Number 9, why do we need Jesus? No Jesus, no power. No power to live the life. Well, how am I not going to do that? How's my life going to be? Because you've got a power in you that you didn't used to have. You have Jesus Himself, the very presence of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Himself, the Holy Spirit, living in you, giving you the power, giving you the gift, showing you which way you need to go, showing you what to say and what not to say, closing your mouth when it needs to be shut, opening it when it needs to be opened, putting words in it to people that you thought, well, man, where did that come from? How was I able to do that? Giving wing to things in your life that you never thought could be. Those old habits you had to give you the power to stay away and to speak truth into people's lives. That's the power I'm talking about. Power to love, power to look at people that you once hated and thought, man, you know, just get rid of them right now. And suddenly to be able to pray for them and intercede for them and say, Lord, change their lives. Change their lives. I love them. That power to love, that power can only come from Him. Do you have that power in your life? Number 10, why do you need Jesus? Because He's the only way you're going to be delivered and free. Deliverance from the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil. To wreak havoc in generation after generation after generation. I'm only 57 years old. But I've been around long enough now to watch one generational curse be passed on to the next, to the next, to the next, and see how it's been. And somebody in the middle of it has got to say, it stops here. It's not going any farther. We're not going to see this destruction. We're not going to see it just go through our lives, the lives of our family. You really love your family? If you really love your family, then let Jesus have power over your life and stop all that junk that was passed on to you. Put a stop, just draw that line in the sand and say, God, I know with your power it stops here. And it will. It will. And therefore then pass on to the next generation love and forgiveness and the power of God. Finally, number 11. You can tell I'm not very symmetric. I have 11 points. Well, maybe one and one over here. Why do we need Jesus? Because without Him, we cannot have a forever family. I've heard many of you say it in this fellowship. You said this to me. Dusty, the people in this body of believers I'm with are closer to me than my physical family ever was. Can I get a witness on that from anybody? Okay. All right. Let me tell you, there's a spiritual reason for that. God's just ramping you up and getting you ready for what it's going to be like forever. You're going to be with one another forever. We're getting to know each other. We're getting a little bit of heaven here. Heaven's opening up. And we're seeing His power. And we're getting to experience some of that. Yeah, we're still in this hellhole of a world. But like in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that Abraham, though he was living in tents, he was looking for a city. He's just passing through. We're passing through. Do you know Him? Are you part of this family? This forever family? Have you chosen Jesus? Not did you join a church, not were you baptized, not did you go through some religious ritual. That's not what I'm asking you. Does Jesus live in your life now? Have you received Him? Today you can. Today you can. You can ask Him to come into your life and make you a new person and begin a brand new life with Him today. Many, many people join the church and never join Jesus. His invitation is personal. It is to you. What will you do with Jesus right now? As a young man, one of my mentors was Ann Hardin. She was our youth minister in our church when I was growing up. She's gone to be with the Lord now, but she died in an automobile accident a couple of years ago. Nickname was Kid. And she's the one who showed me how to share my faith with someone else. Gave me a few verses and prayed for us. And showed us how to share the gospel with someone else. After she did that, she took us down to Tybee. And she said, now let's just go out on the beach and meet a few people. And so we did. I remember what God did to me that day. It was as if the Red Sea had parted, the Atlantic Ocean. And I just casually met these people as we talked with folks on the beach and got to talking to them about their need, about their lives. That afternoon, six different people prayed to receive Christ on the beach there. God did that eternal transaction right there on that beach. There have been few days in my life where I had more random. I've seen, you know, other times many people came to Christ, but just like it was just this one and then this one over here, and they had nothing to do with one another. And here I am decades later, and it finally dawns on me what the Lord was wanting to speak to me that day. And here was the message. Dusty, I want to save men and women from their sins. And I want to use you. As if He allowed me to see that happen before my very eyes. Six different times that day. And it showed me, doesn't matter where you are, what the circumstances are, Jesus has the power to save. Well, we're here in this building. It's an October day. And your friend Jesus is coming to you. And He's asking you, what will you do with me today? I'm still preaching the same gospel that at age 16 I was sharing on Tybee Island. The power of Jesus to forgive sin and to change your life. How about it? How about you? Let's pray. Lord, now with love and care, we have presented this message that You put on our heart today. I thank You for speaking. Thank You for making things plain. Now, Lord, let us respond. I'm calling on you today. If Jesus has spoken to you today and you want Him in your life, I'd ask you to come. I'm going to stand up here and pray with anybody that comes, but especially if you've never asked Jesus into your heart. I'm calling on you today to take a public stance for Him. That means step out of your seat and walk up here. And we'll pray with you, and you can ask Jesus.
Sheltered from the storm, this is our God. Wipe away
we have waited. Going to try and talk without crying, but it's not likely. I just wanted to kind of piggyback off of what Dusty was talking about this morning of needing Jesus. Got to remember to breathe. In June of this year, I lost my job. And it was really, really hard. I had worked at Jerry, stop crying. I'd worked there for 11 years, and losing the job was extremely devastating, and not knowing the uncertainty of my financial future and just what that looked like, the plans that God would have for me. And that's where I went. And God really put me on my knees for a long time and just seeking Him out. And I felt like this was a fresh start. Like I had an etch and sketch and I'd been shaken. And God had a new plan for me and a new path for me. And I didn't start seeking a job right away. I didn't feel like I was supposed to, so I didn't. I trusted God with all of my heart of what was gonna happen. And I just really listened to Him. I began looking for a job and got extremely frustrated. I got no response. I felt like I was extremely talented and possessed all the many things that would get me a job. I felt like God told me to stop, so I stopped. Weeks later, I received a phone call from who is now going to be my new employer because they did offer me a job. I got one job interview and one phone call and was offered the job. I could not have done it and had my faith in God had it not been for the family that God has given me. So I'd really like it if my life group family would come up, because without them, the prayer I knew every day that these people were praying for me. And what I love most is that my children, my boys got to see what putting your faith in God really is all about. And I'm telling you, I could just stay up here all day, but I know everybody's hungry, but God has really worked in my family and has multiplied and allowed us to give in areas that we just would not have been able to give. And I'm so grateful for my big sister and the little sisters and my amazing mother that God's blessed me with. So if you're not a part of a life group, I strongly encourage you to be part of one, because this is where you stay grounded. This is how you get through the stuff, how we need Jesus. This is how you get through it.
Amen. Woo! Come. Thank you, Lisa. Sean, come over here. Y'all just stay where you are. Sean, I didn't even get through inviting people to come up here, and he busted it on down here. He was ready to. And what happened to you today, Sean?
Well, is that I was sitting down and I was remembering from earlier yesterday that when my skateboard ramp broke, is that I shouldn't get mad at something that was just an accident. And I straight up yelled down Austin's throat, and God told me when I was in bed that I shouldn't jump down people's throat for just an accident. It's not cool.
And what happened to you this morning?
What happened to me this morning is that I replied to that message, and I forgot to say sorry to Austin, but I shouldn't do that to people, you know? It's just...
And when you prayed just a moment ago, what did you do? Who did you ask into your life?
I asked Jesus into my life to help me get through.
Amen. And where is He right now?
In my heart.
That's right. And He's never going to leave you, buddy. He's never going to leave you. We praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. And his brother asked Jesus into his life. Yeah, come on over here. At Life Group last week. Lord bless you. And we praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 God bless y'all. Thank you for that testimony, Lisa. If you need to talk to any of us before you leave here today, you need prayer, we're around. And it's a family, the family of God, the forever family. We're about to go over to the fellowship hall to enjoy a meal together. And instead of going through the side door, we're going to go through the front doors. Please don't go through the side door. Go through the front door, and we'll have two lines down the table. You'll see where the food is. I don't think you'll need a director to get to that. And there'll be some. We're going to set up some tables. We've got tables in the side room and on the breezeway here. And out in there's one table out in the screened-in building, and there are plenty of places out there that you can sit. Go outside. Enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy the little bit of heaven we have here today. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. I was about to forget. And we need to get your cards. If you have an offering to bring, come on and bring that now. There's a basket in the back. Basket's up front here. We'd like to get that from you right now.
Lifting up my hands, lifting up my voice, lifting up your name. In your grace I rest, for your love has come to me. Set me free. Trust in your word, trust in your cross, trust in your